Now, the session will recognize this. I did this Tuesday night when we had our session council meeting, and God kept just telling me, leading me to read this again. Psalm 148, listen this day for God's word to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that they will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and cloud, stormy winds, what do his bidding? You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. May the Lord's name be praised. Thank you, Bill. I'm really out of my comfort zone this morning, way out of it, because I have no notes. This was hard for me to do because I'm used to sitting at my computer for hours, or going on my couch and holding computer for hours, working on sermons, putting notes, writing, typing, doing this all week long, starting either Sunday afternoon or Monday morning. And I kept trying to do it. And God kept taking me away, I felt like. And I said, well, you just don't feel good. You just don't want to write a sermon right now. And then I would go back, and it kept pushing me away. And then when I spoke to this session Tuesday night, when I got up Wednesday morning, I said, maybe that's what I should do. And I started thinking about it. I said, okay, well, I'll do that. Then by Thursday morning, I didn't want to do it again because I like having some notes here. If I go blank, I can look at them and know, and I have that comfort, and that fear is not there. Even last night, I was ready to chunk this and write a last-minute sermon. I've done that before. Thrown a sermon away on Friday or Saturday and totally rewritten a sermon. So for this, I try not even think about anything. When I went in Tuesday night, I didn't know what I was going to say, and I'm sure some of what I'm going to get ready to say is going to, you elders, it's one of your curses, I guess. You have to hear some things twice, three or four times sometimes from me, repetitious. And I'm doing something else that I don't normally do. I don't like to talk about me too much from the pulpit. I may mention my dog every once in a while or some little instance, but I like to give examples of other people or biblical characters, and I like to leave me personally out. I may talk to you as an individual or maybe as a session about some things, but I don't like to do it from the pulpit. But this morning, it's just weighing heavily on my heart all week long that I need to step back, and I just need to do that. And Cliff's working on maybe a new microphone and system for us. This is cutting out a little bit. Even when I got up and I did my devotionals this morning, it went with this. And what I want to talk to you about is some personal things that have been going on with me in my life, in my family's life, because I understand that when things go on with me, they're going on with you also, because the human condition is the same. I may be going through different problems, but they're basically the same. Some of you know, I've talked about it before, digestive issues since I was a child. One of the reasons I'm so skinny, I can't eat when I want to, and I can't eat a lot of foods that I want to eat. So it's been going on my whole life, and at times I felt malnourished, just can't handle food. A few years ago, I cut out red meat. And so you have to try to find other things. I ate a little chicken, a little fish, trying to find things that I can digest and that I can be strong. And after having the Mercer and then the operation on my colon, I finally found a system that kind of got me in a place, probably the best that I had been in my life. And then about a month ago, it started falling apart on me. And to the point that yesterday, that I even wondered, do I need to go to the hospital? Will I even be able to come to the church? And I started thinking about it. Well, why is this happening to my system? Then I started thinking, well, you're going through all these dental problems. I'm having grafting done in my mouth, bone placed in there, and this started last year. And implants, just all kind of things being done. Multiple stitches, and as soon as I get one thing, I'm barely healed up, I'm going in to get something else done. And then the money involved, we're not talking about a few hundred dollars, we're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars. And thank goodness part of my package from the church is to give me so much towards medical deductible, I couldn't do any of this. Well, I was feeling really bad the other day, and Monday I had a checkup for my mouth to go in and see if it was healing well and whether to take out stitches, and went in, he said, everything is looking well, but the next 2 weeks is going to be very, very important. Whether this graft takes, whether the skin graft takes, whether the bone graft takes, whether this will all work or not. You know, I'm thinking, the one dental appointment was $4,510. And that day, I'm going to the next dentist, and right in the middle of that, I had to have a root canal. And I'm thinking, wow, do I go through all that, and then it not even work? Now, I left immediately, this was around lunchtime, left immediately from that, and went over to the eye doctor, because he told me about a year ago that I'm getting early onset of cataracts. Now, I didn't think that would come on to way later in life. I'll be 62 this September. In the 6 months period since my last appointment, I've gone from a line 2 to a line 4, which means I need cataract surgery. In a dentist, I mean the eye doctor's office, finding this out after just leaving that doctor, finding out I need surgery on my eye, and kind of got overwhelmed by it all. Because it's not just the fact of the surgery, well, do you put just the regular ones that give you distance, or do you go ahead and get the ones that help you see up close and just do away with glasses? But it's a lot more money. And I was trying to use my money to get my teeth fixed over the next few years. Now, do I stop and get my eyes done and hold off my teeth for a couple of more years? So that was kind of weighing heavy on my mind. That's enough to make you just think right there. And right in the midst of all that, in my family, I got a telephone call that my brother, who's college educated, been doing successfully, married with a child, South Carolina, all his businesses closed down. Not anything he had done wrong, just they closed all of them down. So without a job, what's he going to do? Started thinking about him. Then I get a call from a very close, immediate family member that two addictions. An older person, not someone that I expected to have this, and two addictions, that, not like alcohol and drugs, but alcohol and something else, and I'm like overwhelmed, so I'm trying to, I said, well, I'll help you and get you into counseling, and then the first thing they start doing is lying to me. That's what people with addictions do. They lie to you. So it became a burden, kind of hard to handle, because not being able to eat, my teeth hurting, all this, not having my normal strength, it was kind of beating me down. And right in the middle of that, Robin called me from the hospital at the emergency room, said she'd fell, hit her back of her head on a brick wall, and I could barely understand her speech. She was slurring so much, had a concussion. A week later, still slurring her speech, concussion. You know, I care very much about her. Then throw in talking with a lot of you about your problems, which don't ever stop sharing those, because that's what I am here for, is to talk about those kind of things. And as soon as I left the eye doctor, I'm really in kind of a fog. So I'm going over to see Isabel Mellinger. Get in the car, I'm driving over there, and I'm thinking, should I even be driving right this second? I walk in the hospital room, you know, they got the signs up and, you know, those precaution signs, and I'm thinking, oh no, is this Mercer? You know, I can't deal with that. But I go in, it's my job, it's what I'm going to do, and get ready to pray. And there's a few people in the room. Greg is there with Allie, and Tammy is there, and of course she's in the bed and she's not feeling well. She's got a high temperature. Look up on the television screen. I'm not sure exactly what time this is, 3:30 or something. I'm really not sure of the time. The marathon bombing. I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. No way. Why is this happening? Why would someone do this? Kill innocent people, children, and people just watching a marathon race. Why would they do that? Why? And I'm getting ready to come to Tuesday night. And someone has sent a letter to our Congress. Was it Nicene? Am I saying that right? Probably not. The Ricin. Two different envelopes. And then the fire, an explosion in Waco that kills all the people. So many tragedies, so many things that happen to us in life that we don't want to happen. We don't want it to happen to us. We don't want it to happen to our families. We don't want it to happen to our church members. We don't want it to happen to our neighbors. We don't even really want it to happen to people that we don't particularly like. So how do I rise above these things? How do you rise above these things? How do these people caught up in catastrophes and tragedies and just the everydayness of life? You know, I've talked about how long it's been now that I don't even get out of bed, but I say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that has made a tremendous difference in my life. It's given me more of a positive attitude. I think it's helped my preaching. I think it's helped my ministry and how I relate to people to be positive. But still the other day, sometimes things pop. And every one of us can get a little bit overwhelmed. So I pick up my Bible and I turn straight to the Psalms. And it was talking about praising the Lord. If you look at 146, I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. 147, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. He understands, has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. And I just started really thinking about It's one of the things that I need to make sure that I do, not just say something once when I get up in the morning, but start living my life as a life of praise to God. Because when I start praising God, I start taking my eyes off of me, and I start placing them on God, who's the source of my strength. Because I alone in myself am not strong enough, I'm not capable enough to handle all of the things that come upon me, because they can crush me, and they can crush a family, they can crush a church, they can crush a nation. So we have to depend and look to God. And we praise Him, we worship Him, we spend time and adoration towards Him, looking at Him, keeping our eyes focused on God, on Jesus, on the Holy Spirit. It takes our eyes off of our problems, the troubles that we're going through. We begin to lean on Him, and we gain strength through that. A strength that we did not know we had, because we are gaining God's strength. When I got up this morning, doing my daily devotion, April the 20th. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Hear me saying, peace be still to your restless heart. No matter what happens, I will never leave you or forsake you. Let this assurance soak into your mind and heart until you overflow with joy. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, heart of the sea, you need not fear. The media relentlessly proclaim bad news for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. A steady diet of their far will sicken you. Instead of focusing on fickle, ever-changing news, broadcast, tune in to the living Word, the one who is always the same. Let Scripture saturate your mind and heart and will walk steadily along the path of life. Even though you don't know what will happen tomorrow, you can be absolutely sure of your ultimate destination. I hold you by your right hand, and afterward I will take you into glory. That was my devotion, one of three that I do for this morning. That was my confirmation that this is where I was supposed to go. This is where God was speaking to me to do. So there's a lot of things that come against me. Restless leg syndrome. Legs jump at night. Insomniac. I've been an insomniac since I was a child. I used to have a job mixing colors for a factory to match the cloth, the print colors like you're wearing. Do you know I'm colorblind, partly in three shades? It's amazing. Dressed. I've argued with people over colors before until I found this out. I just knew I was right. In my mind, I was. Oh, man, life's funny sometimes. And you got to stop and you got to laugh at yourself sometimes, regardless of what you're going through, and believe people love you and God is there with you, and praise God. I don't praise God because I have restless leg syndrome, or because I'm partly colorblind, or because I have bad digestive system, or because I have headaches, or because I wasn't born exceptionally good looking, or anything like that. You know, spending the money on my teeth and my eyes, I was hoping to save some money and use it on facial reconstruction. But you know, best laid plans of mice and men, you know, just don't know. So I'm going to spend time, instead of worrying so much about these things, because I've learned worry does not solve any problem in your life. Not one. Not one. Not one problem will worry ever solve. It only makes it worse. Taking your eyes off of yourself, off of your problems, focus on how you can help yourself, what you can do. Focusing on God, that is what will help you. That's what we all need to do. I want to take just a minute. I've never done this before. Don't get scared. This is not going to start happening every Sunday. Neither will this. This is an exceptional Sunday, a different Sunday. especially for our visitors. But I'm going to cut this off so we won't get squelching. We're going to have a participation. Can you hear that? I didn't say that word right. Anyone, just for a minute, it may just be one word. You have anything that you would like to praise God for? It may just be, say, my spouse or the color blue. I love the color blue, I think. Just raise your hand, I'll walk over to you.
The love of the church family.
Amen. That's a very good one.
I praise God each and every day for being with me, to help me to rear my children by myself, by the grace of God, and to get them into college. And each and every day for the health He has given me and the love of the people in this church.
Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for my age and my health. I want everybody to know that I'm 87 years old. In a short time, I will be 88.
Praise God.
I praise God. In a couple of months, I will have met my wife. In October, we will be married 50 years in October.
I just want to praise the Lord that I'm sitting here right now listening to this sermon, and it's for everything, just for the sun today, and I don't want to start crying.
It's okay. I'm Bob. It's good. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank God that from a very early time, my family was always telling me, whenever you don't like something about yourself or something's wrong, that you were made in the image and the likeness of God, and that's what you need to know. And if you know that, nothing can bother you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank God every day for my years, and I hope that I'll have a few more.
Amen. I believe you will. Anyone else? Don't want to miss anyone that wants to say something.
I praise God that when I was a Paul of sorts, that He never gave up on me and sent an angel to bring me to Him.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. I want to thank you for participating and allowing me to do something a little different today. I want you to know that God loves you. God will always love you, and God will never, ever give up on you. So don't ever give up on God.